United States versus Little. Mr. Nichols.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Jeff Nichols. I represent Kylan Little, the defendant appellant in this case. Mr. Little was convicted of, after he pled to, a one count of distributing cocaine base in the district court and also one count of being a felon in possession of a firearm. After that plea, the court imposed a 95-month sentence on Mr. Little, on each count and concurrent to each other. The sentence was unreasonable. We are asking that the court vacate the sentence and remand to the district court for resentencing. In this case, Mr. Little, through counsel, submitted a sentencing memo raising an issue regarding the amended crack guidelines that went into effect November 1st, 2007, that's Amendment 706, that created a sentencing guideline, the new guidelines, that have a huge variance from one level to the next. As Kimbrough noted, the variance ranges from 25 to 1 to 80 to 1. There is no rational basis for that variance. It constitutes unsound judgment. Mr. Little was sentenced in the level that has an 80 to 1 or up to an 80 to 1 ratio. The reason I state that the sentencing guidelines are based on unsound judgment goes back to the original sentencing guidelines that were promulgated that had a 100 to 1 ratio. That 100 to 1 ratio was based upon the minimum mandatory sentences that Congress wanted to impose in order to more significantly punish high-level dealers from low-level dealers. But the Sentencing Commission, by making those levels, did not utilize its characteristic institutional role. It went away from using empirical data to determine these sentencing levels. When it originally promulgated the sentencing guidelines for things other than crack cocaine, which came later, they used an empirical approach. They looked at 10,000 different pre-sentence report investigations, viewed data regarding what kind of sentencings were going on within the country, and used that to decide what would be the appropriate levels for different types of crimes. However, they did not utilize that. That has been recognized by the Supreme Court. It has been recognized by the Sentencing Commission. The Supreme Court noted that in Kimbrough and in Gall. And now, the Sentencing Commission has also indicated, and the court had quoted that, that the crack cocaine guidelines that were previously made do not address or are at odds, rather, with the sentencing objectives of the Sentencing Reform Act. They did not address the relative harmlessness of the differences between the two different drugs. It created inconsistent punishment between high-level and low-level dealers because the high-level dealers primarily would traffic in powder cocaine rather than crack cocaine. That inconsistent punishment would also foster disrespect for the court and provide a lack of confidence in the fairness of the system. Now, in addition to having her sentence either be based on or influenced by the sentencing guidelines that are based on unsound judgment, she also failed to procedurally follow the dictates or the factors that were outlined in Gall. There were five factors outlined. We contend that she did not adequately consider two of those factors. Failing to consider the statutory factors, in this case the statutory factor being an avoidance of unwarranted sentencing disparities, sentences imposed on defendants in a similar circumstance and convicted of similar conduct. Also, failing to adequately explain the chosen sentence. And I think that that's where, in this case, the district court fell down the most. We had raised the issue in the sentencing memo regarding the discrepancies. The court, as the case law states, basically slighted the argument, only addressed it in one sentence, which principally made two points. She recognized that there was a huge variance in the newly amended sentencing guidelines, but at the same time said that she didn't see how the variance went through the whole chart. That's something I can't quite understand, because she was presented with a chart. It's in Kimbrough, that there is a variance from 25 to 80. As I had also noted, there's even a variance within the guideline itself, from the high end to the low end in almost all of the levels except for the highest two levels. So that was one thing that she did. She also stated that because he had already received the benefit of the lower guideline, that was some reason to also not grant a variance. Being sentenced within the guidelines that are currently into effect, I don't think that that's a proper way to deal with the sentence in a circumstance like this, simply because it's different from what he would have gotten previously. The ratios that were used in this case, again, Mr. Little was sentenced in the level that contained the highest range. The next higher level operated on a 25-to-1 ratio. If he had been sentenced, as noted in my brief and in the sentencing memo provided to the court, if he had been sentenced at a ratio of 25-to-1, he would have been in a guideline range of 57-to-71 rather than the 84-to-105 range. If an equal amount of powder cocaine had been used, a 1-to-1 ratio, he would have been in a 27-to-33-month term within that guideline. Now, counsel had the government had cited a case from the Massachusetts District Court, indicating that they were more concerned with punishment rather than the ratios themselves. However, as the 100-to-1 ratio created a sentences that were 3 times to 6 times as more severe than a powder cocaine defendant. In this case, Mr. Little's sentence was 3 times as high as what he would have received in a powder cocaine circumstance. I've gone into my rebuttal period. Unless there are questions from the panel, I will reserve that time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nicholas. Ms. Rombolo.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Nichols, Rita Rumbelow for the United States. Judge Crabb did adequately explain her reasons for denying the defendant's request for downward variance. She noted that he had already received the 2-level reduction when the Sentencing Commission granted an across-the-board 2-level reduction to the guidelines. Has it resulted in some differing ratios throughout the guidelines? Yes, it has. But in the defendant's sentencing memo, on page 6, he said to the district court, the ratio to be used to calculate my sentence should be no higher than 25-to-1. Well, what's really interesting about that is then on page 4 of his reply brief, he gave us the ratio for the high end of each guideline range. There's a typographical error there, but I did the math, and it meant to say high end. Well, at level 24, if Judge Crabb would have granted his request for a ratio of 25-to-1, he would have gotten the high end of the guideline range. She didn't do that. She looked at 3553A. She considered his arguments. She gave him a guideline sentence in the middle of the range. So what is that ratio? Well, it's anywhere between 80-to-1 and 25-to-1. But does it matter? No. Judge Crabb knew. Kimbrough was discussed at the sentencing hearing. Kimbrough was decided months prior to this sentencing. She knew based upon any policy disagreement with the crack cocaine disparity, that she could have granted his request for a downward variance. She didn't. And she didn't because Mr. Little is 28 years old. He's fathered 6 children that he doesn't take care of. He's criminal history category 5. He's never held verifiable employment. And he batters women repeatedly. Judge Crabb found that reprehensible. So she found a need to protect the community with a sentence in the middle of the range. This argument that the new ratios within the 2D1.1 guidelines is unsound judgment just doesn't really make sense to me. Again, the ratios are there, but every district court across this country knows that if they so choose, they may grant a downward variance based on Kimbrough. Judge Crabb chose not to do that in this case. Her reasonings were sound. She explained them, and there's absolutely nothing unreasonable about a sentence in the middle of the correctly calculated advisory guideline range. The court doesn't have any questions. I ask that the judgment and conviction be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rumbaugh. Mr. Nichols?
Judge, one of the primary arguments that the government is making in this case and just made to you is that Kimbrough was in effect, that the judge knew about Kimbrough, and that the judge could have done so, could have deviated had she wished. But the government also stated that the court could have done that, made that variance, based on a policy disagreement with the guidelines. We don't know whether or not she had a policy disagreement with the guidelines. We don't know whether or not she agreed that the guidelines had sound judgment. She didn't address those things. She didn't address the argument at all except for the one sentence that I've already cited to the court. The government also relies on the criminal history and how the court took note of that. As I noted in the sentencing memo, although he is a criminal history category 5, some of those convictions were relatively minor. They were all related to his drug addiction and to drug use. He had 3 convictions for possession of marijuana, 1 conviction for possession of cocaine, and 1 conviction for possession of paraphernalia. In that circumstance, I did argue to the court that his criminal history category was overstated. However, in this instance, the primary argument made, and the one that was not addressed, was whether or not the new sentencing guidelines represent unsound judgment. For those reasons, we are requesting that this court vacate the sentence and remand to the district court for a new sentencing hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Nicholas. Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Nicholas, you have the additional thanks of the court for accepting this appointment and ably representing Mr. Little.
Thank you.
The case is under advisement.